Welcome to another episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where the realms of true crime, the supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Jordan.
Let's dive right in. Today, we have a special episode for you. We're counting down the top 10 creepiest urban legends from around the world. Tales that have haunted our dreams and fueled countless stories. So turn off the lights, grab your favorite blanket, and let's embark on this eerie journey together. Are you ready to explore the dark corners of urban legends, Jordan?
I am as ready as I'm going to be.
Whether you are or not, let's begin. Number 10, The Vanishing Hitchhiker. It's a cold, moonless night, the kind where the darkness seems to thicken with every passing moment. Our journey tonight begins on one such lonely road, a stretch of highway that slices through the heartland like a forgotten dream. The road, they say, is not for the faint of heart. It's here where our story unfolds, a tale of the vanishing hitchhiker. Imagine, if you will, a lone driver making his way home. His name is John, a man of rational mind and skeptic heart. The clock on his dashboard blinks past midnight as he navigates the bends and curves of the highway. The only light comes from his headlights, casting long shadows that dance on the edges of the road. Then, there, in the glow of his car lights, stands a figure, a young woman, alone. She's dressed oddly for the night, in a light dress, no coat, shivering under the weight of the world. John, ever the gentleman, slows his car to a stop beside her.
Hey there, it's far too cold to be out here without a coat. Do you need a lift?
She nods, her voice barely a whisper.
Please.
Her words are carried away by the wind as she slides into the passenger seat. She tells him she needs to get home, but doesn't say much else. Her gaze lost in the distance. Her eyes a deep well of sorrow. As they drive, John can't help but feel a chill that doesn't come from the cold outside. Questions burn inside him, but the air around them feels too fragile to disturb with words. Instead, he focuses on the road, on the sound of the engine, on the warmth slowly returning to his fingertips. Then, as suddenly as she had appeared, she's gone. The seat beside him, once occupied by a girl with sad eyes, now holds nothing but silence. No door had opened, no goodbye spoken. She had simply vanished into the cold night air. John pulls over, heart racing, mind reeling. He searches the car, the road, but finds nothing. No trace of the mysterious girl, just the whispering wind that seems to mock his confusion. The next day, driven by a mix of concern and curiosity, John finds himself knocking on the door of an old house at the end of the lane she had pointed out as her home. An elderly woman answers, her eyes filled with a familiar sorrow.
I know this might sound strange, but I picked up a young woman last night. She told me she lived here. I just wanted to make sure she made it home okay.
The woman's face doesn't change, but her eyes speak volumes. She invites him in, and there on the mantle is a picture of the girl. The same sad eyes, the same light dress.
That's my daughter. She died on that road. 10 years ago tonight, a hit and run left her to die in that cold. Every year, someone like you comes to my door looking for answers. She's still trying to make it home, it seems.
And so our tale comes to a close, leaving behind more questions than answers. The Vanishing Hitchhiker, a story repeated in countless variations across the world, reminds us of the thin veil between the living and the dead. It speaks to the never-ending journey home, to the loved ones we've lost, and to the mysteries that haunt the lonely roads we travel. What'd you think?
Reminds me a little bit of the first episode of Supernatural.
I never seen it.
You've seen it like 8 million times. It's like the one episode of Supernatural that you have seen.
She's not joking. That is 100% true. I've started and stopped Supernatural so many times. At least once a year.
You're ridiculous, I swear. But it's a really good story. And I've heard this, I don't know, fable or tale countless times. And it's intriguing every single time that I hear it. And it's real.
Supposedly.
I mean, the idea is real. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that very easily could happen, and it's realistic. Because everybody knows somebody that didn't make it home one night, you know?
I've been wanting to do this episode for a long time. Urban legends are so great because they're almost so vague that they could happen anywhere.
Exactly.
I don't know how many times I've been driving middle of the night, and if I saw a young girl walking on a cold night, I probably would stop too.
Shoot, I probably would stop because as a woman, I'm really not going to be super threatened by another woman on the side of the road.
I love this story. This is probably one of my favorite ones as far as urban legends go, but we're going to get into some really good ones here.
Super stoked about it.
Some of them you may know too, like our next one. Number 9. The babysitter and the man upstairs. On a stormy night in a quiet suburban neighborhood where the trees whispered secrets to those who dared listen, our story unfolds. A young babysitter, Sarah, was watching over the Thompson children while their parents enjoyed a much-needed night out. The children, after a night filled with games and stories, had long succumbed to sleep, leaving Sarah alone in the dimly lit living room. The house, a sprawling two-story that had seen better days, creaked and groaned as if settling into its foundations. Sarah, trying to shake off the unease that clung to her like a second skin, decided to dive into her studies, textbooks sprawled across the coffee table. Startled by the sudden interruption, Sarah hesitated before answering. The voice on the other end was unfamiliar, a man's voice, cold and emotionless.
Have you checked on the children?
Before she could respond, the line went dead. Sarah, heart pounding, chalked it up to a prank call. Yet the silence that followed seemed to press against her, heavy with unspoken warning. The night pressed on, relentless. The phone rang again, the same question.
Have you checked on the children?
This time, fear took root in Sarah's heart. She rushed upstairs, propelled by a need to see with her own eyes that the children were safe. Tucked in their beds, they slept soundly, oblivious to the storm outside and the one brewing within the house. With trembling hands, Sarah answered the phone. The voice, now tinged with impatience, repeated the question. Panic took hold as she demanded to know who was calling. The line crackled, then a chilling response that froze her to the core.
Look upstairs.
The realization hit Sarah with the force of a freight train. The calls, the eerie questions, they were coming from inside the house. She locked herself in the children's room, heart racing, as shadows seemed to dance along the walls. Everything was too much and not enough at once. Too much noise, too much silence, too much fear. The phone rang again, but this time it was different. It was the police, returning her frantic call from moments ago, though it felt like a lifetime had passed.
We've traced the call. It's coming from a second line inside the house. Get out now.
But there was nowhere to run. The house felt alive, watching, waiting. The storm outside raged, matching the turmoil within. And then just as suddenly, silence fell, a suffocating heavy silence. It was in this silence that the police found Sarah, the children safe beside her. The intruder was caught, hiding in the shadows of the unused guest room upstairs, a room forgotten by time, but not by malice. The babysitter and the man upstairs, a tale of terror that whispers of our vulnerability. It preys on the fear of being watched, of being not alone when we are most isolated. An urban legend, yes, but one that reminds us of the fragility of safety, the illusion of security. In the end, Sarah and the children were safe, but the scars remained, etched into their very souls. For in every shadow, in every unknown call, the question lingers. Have you checked on the children? That is honestly my worst fear.
It is terrifying. I am a person who carries a firearm. Always have been ever since I decided to live on my own. The second I decided to live on my own, I was like, no, I'm getting a gun. Hard truth.
That's scary in many ways.
You should not be scared of that. I know how to use it.
I'm not saying you don't, but I've seen you get confused talking on a phone and you start talking on the wrong phone.
Okay, you have a point. But I remember I was at my house once and my neighbors have kids. Now, the kids are grown at this point. This was several years ago. And there was somebody outside both of our houses. And I was fairly certain that they were home alone because there were no cars in the front, but I knew they were home. And there was somebody just walking outside the front yard and it was freaking me out. And it kind of reminds me of this situation because it literally can happen. That's the scariest part of these stories is it can happen.
Oh, yeah. And it has happened.
It's terrifying because it's real and it could happen.
I remember hearing this story way back in the day when I was a kid. Obviously, you could tell it's an older urban legend because honestly, who has landlines anymore?
Yeah, nobody has landlines anymore.
For some of your younger folks, the landline is a phone line in the house. And there used to be a thing where you could have two phone lines in a house. And that was like the best. I mean, that was like rich person.
Yeah, you were super rich if you had a second landline, like in your bedroom or something. Oh my God, that was the coolest thing to have. The coolest. I didn't have one.
This story gets to people because your house is supposed to be your safe place where you can be the most safe. And it's not like someone kicking in the door. This is more like subtle and in a way that kind of makes it more scary.
It is. And not only are you vulnerable, but the kids are vulnerable. Yeah. And that's, I think, even more terrifying because for you to be vulnerable is one thing, but you've got other lives that you're looking out for at the time. And for me, especially, I'm not a person who has kids, but that's terrifying.
It really is. It's not my favorite, but it's definitely up there.
It's a good one. I look forward to the next.
On to the next. Number 8, Bloody Mary. Deep in the heart of a sleepy town, where the nights are darker than most, there lies a tale that has been whispered from generation to generation. It speaks of a mirror, an ordinary looking glass that held within it something extraordinary, something terrifying. This is the story of Bloody Mary. On a night, much like any other, with the moon hiding behind thick clouds, three friends gathered in the attic of an old creaking house. Their hearts were heavy with the thrill of the unknown, their minds alight with the spirit of adventure. They were about to test a legend to summon Bloody Mary.
Are we really going to do this?
Liam said.
Yes, I've heard she can tell your future if you're brave enough to look into her eyes.
Eva said.
Or drag you into the mirror to live into her world forever.
Sophie said. The room was set, lit only by the faint glow of a single candle. The mirror stood before them, an ancient relic that seemed to absorb the light, making the shadows dance with anticipation. With a deep breath, they stepped forward. Together, they whispered her name thrice into the darkness.
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
The air grew colder. The candle flickered, violently as if trying to ward off an unseen force. And then silence. The mirror's surface rippled and a figure appeared. Her face twisted in an internal scream, her eyes hollow with unspeakable horrors. The friends stumbled back, their hearts racing, their breaths caught in their throats. Before them stood Bloody Mary, her appearance more ghastly than any tale had ever described. Her eyes locked with Liam's, reflecting a future filled with shadows and turmoil. Eva, paralyzed by fear, could see the sadness within Mary's gaze. The eternal longing for something lost, Sophie, the skeptic, found herself unable to look away, her skepticism replaced by a deep, unshakable fear. The seconds stretched into eternity, the line between the world and the one within the mirror blurring, and then just as suddenly as she had appeared, Bloody Mary vanished. The mirror once again showed only their pale, frightened faces. The friends left the attic that night, each carrying with them a piece of the legend they had awakened. Liam, whose future was clouded with unseen challenges. Eva, touched by the sadness of a spirit trapped between worlds. Sophie, her skepticism replaced by a respect for the mysteries that lay beyond the realm of the known. The legend of Bloody Mary is more than just a tale to challenge the bravest of the souls. It's a reminder that some mysteries are better left unexplored, that some doors, once opened, can never be closed again. But curiosity, much like the legend itself, is immortal, tempting us to whisper her name before a mirror in a dark room, to seek out the mysteries that lurk in the shadows. I will be 100% honest. Bloody Mary is probably the first urban legend I ever heard of as a kid.
I think it's one of the first ones all of us ever heard of.
I remember quite vividly my friends trying to dare me to say Bloody Mary in a mirror, and I was scared to.
There's something about it that even when you're little is like, no, I think I probably shouldn't.
It's one of those things where I don't believe in Bloody Mary, but it's been so deeply ingrained.
Exactly. Just in case, I'm good. Let's not push the boundaries here.
Now, Annabelle, we're definitely going to push those boundaries.
Let's not.
I don't know why Bloody Mary scares me, but Annabelle doesn't.
Yeah, you work backwards. What is wrong with you? I mean, a lot, but what is wrong with you?
Number 7, the expression list. In the year 1972, a tale emerged from the shadows of Cedar Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. A story so unsettling it has lingered in the corridors of urban legend ever since. It's the story of the expressionless, a being whose appearance challenges the very essence of humanity and the unknown entities that dwell on the fringes of our reality. On a cool, damp night, when the mist seemed to whisper secrets only the dark could understand, hospital staff were caught off guard by a figure standing at the entrance. It was a woman, if one could call her that, clad in nothing but a white gown soaked in a crimson that was unmistakably blood. But it wasn't her attire that chilled the bones of those who saw her. It was her face, utterly devoid of expression, her eyes empty as if the soul within had been extinguished.
Miss, are you all right? Can you tell us your name?
But she said nothing. She simply stood there, motionless, an enigma wrapped in the trappings of a human form. The staff, prompted by a blend of duty and unease, moved to assist her. Yet as they approached, it became clear that something was profoundly wrong. As they led her to a room for examination, whispers filled the hallways. Speculation mingling with fear. Who or what was this woman? Where had she come from? And why was she there? The examination room felt colder than the rest of the hospital, a chill that seemed to emanate from the woman herself. As Dr. Simmons attempted to communicate with her, to piece the veil of mystery that surrounded her, she suddenly moved. Her actions were precise, almost mechanical, as she revealed a mouth full of razor-sharp teeth, a grotesque parody of a human smile. In the ensuing chaos, it became evident that this woman, this expressionless entity, was not human. Her strength, her impossible anatomy beneath the blood-soaked gown, spoke of something far older, far darker, than anyone present could understand. As quickly as she had appeared, she vanished into the night, leaving behind a room of terrified witnesses and a world of unanswered questions. Was she a harbinger of something beyond our understanding? Or a reminder of the mysteries that lie just beyond the veil of the known world. The tale of the expressionless challenges us to question not just the nature of humanity, but the very fabric of reality itself. It whispers of the unknown entities that might live alongside us, unseen, unfathomable, and unearthly. This is probably one of my favorite ones.
It reminds me of a cryptid.
Yeah, that's exactly my first thought when I heard about this one, is that it was some kind of cryptid. I don't know, like, I'm pretty sure at work I'm pretty expressionless, so maybe I'm a cryptid.
You are not expressionless at work. You are filled with rage.
Yeah, but I mostly keep all that inside.
You try, but no, you are filled with rage.
Yeah, that's true. Could you imagine just seeing someone come in that's just totally expressionless?
And covered in blood.
Yeah.
And then, surprise, razor sharp teeth. That would freak me out pretty good.
Yeah, just a little bit. Actually, a whole lot.
I don't know. Anymore, I just feel like, all right, that happened.
Honestly, probably the least weird thing the doctors and nurses have ever seen.
That's true. They're probably at this point like, well, one less to treat. On to the next.
They're probably thinking, man, we at least we get a break for a minute now.
Dang it, now we gotta track her down.
Number 6, the Hook Man. Nestled on the outskirts of a town that sleeps with one eye open, lies a stretch of road known to locals as Lover's Lane, a haven for young love and whispered promises under the moon's watchful gaze. It was here on one such evening, imbued with romance and the intoxicating thrill of youth, that our story takes a sinister turn, the tale of the Hook Man. Mark and Lily, high school sweethearts, had found their way to this secluded spot, wrapped in each other's arms, oblivious to the world beyond the fogged up windows of Mark's old Chevy. Little did they know, their sanctuary of love was about to become the backdrop for a chilling legend.
I wish we could stay here forever, away from the world.
Just you and me against the world.
This is the emergency broadcast system. Stand by for further information.
We interrupt this broadcast with a public safety announcement. A dangerous inmate has escaped from the Springwood Asylum earlier tonight. Described as highly dangerous and identifiable by a metal hook in place of his right hand. Residents are advised to stay indoors and report any suspicious activity.
The news hung in the air between them like a dark cloud. The romantic haze dissipated by fear. Mark turned to Lily, his decision made.
We should go. It's not safe here.
Lily nodded, her eyes wide, with the shared realization that their haven might be a hunting ground. Mark turned the key in the ignition. The engine roared to life, eager to flee back to the safety of light and life. But the night held one more horror for them. As Mark accelerated away from Lover's Lane, Lily's scream pierced the night. There, hanging from the passenger side door handle, was a metal hook, glistening in the moonlight, a silent testament to the danger that had lurked just beyond their tender bubble of love and youth. The drive home was silent, each lost in their thoughts, replaying what might have happened had they stayed just a moment longer. Had fate been less kind? The Hook Man, a specter of the night, had touched their lives, an unwelcome reminder of the fragility of safety. The tale of the Hook Man isn't just a story to chill the spine. It's a parable of the dangers lurking just beyond the safety of our comfort zones. A warning that sometimes love and innocence might blind us to the realities of the world. That danger can find us even in the most private sanctuaries. As Mark and Lily discover that fateful night, some legends are rooted in truths too terrifying to ignore. The Hook Man may be one such truth, a specter waiting in the shadows of our own lovers' lanes, reminding us to heed the warnings we might otherwise ignore. Now, my feeling is this was just a story put out by parents to try to get their kids from sleeping around.
You're probably not wrong, but honestly, it's one of my favorites. I really like this one.
I remember different variations of this. I know there's one version where he gets out to investigate because there's a sound, and then he's gone for a while, and then she starts hearing like almost like scraping on the roof.
Yep.
She gets out, and he's hanging upside down with his hands rubbing against his roof. I mean, there's all kinds of variations, but honestly, I think a lot of this is probably rooted in the fact that parents are trying to get their kids to stay away from Lover Lane.
Lover's Lane is not ever the smartest thing to go do, but let's just be honest. I'm pretty sure most all of us have gone anyway. It's a teenager thing to do. It's just the thing that you go do. Is it smart? No, but pretty much all of us did it anyway.
And honestly, I don't think you really think about safety at that point.
No, 0% safety.
It is a very good urban legend. But not as good as the next one. Number 5. Kuchisaka Onna, the Slit-Mouth Woman. In the shadow-drenched lanes of Japan, where tradition whispers through the ages, there lurks a legend that has chilled the bones of many. She wanders in the veil of night, caught between the realms of the living and the dead. She is Kuchisaka Onna, the Slit-Mouth Woman, a spirit driven by vengeance and sorrow. Her story is one of beauty turned to horror, a cautionary tale that has survived the test of time. Our tale begins on a night much like any other, with the moon casting its pale light over the quiet streets of a town that whispers of old secrets. Hiro, a young student diligent in his studies, found himself walking home later than usual, his mind occupied with the day's lessons and the warmth of the bed calling to him. As he turned down a particularly deserted street, a sense of unease began to creep over him. The air grew colder, the shadows deeper, and it was here that she appeared to him. Kuchisaka Onna, clad in a long coat, a surgical mask concealing her face, she stepped out of the shadows, blocking his path.
Am I beautiful?
Hiro, taken aback by the sudden encounter, saw only a woman in distress, and the politeness ingrained in him, he responded,
"Yes, you are beautiful."
With a swift motion, she removed her mask, revealing her disfigured mouth slit from ear to ear, an internal grimace carved into her once beautiful face. The sight of her ghastly wound sent a shiver down Hiro's spine, his heart pounding like a drum.
"Even like this?"
Faced with the horror before him, Hiro's instincts screamed for him to flee, but ingrained politeness rooted him to the spot. Stammering, seeking a way to escape this nightmare, he uttered a response he hoped would appease her.
Yes, even like that, you are beautiful."
In the blink of an eye, she revealed a large pair of scissors, a sinister gleam in her eye, and Hiro knew the gravity of his predicament. It was said that those who lied to Kuchisaka Onna would meet a grisly end, their faces carved to mirror her eternal sorrow. Yet fate, it seems, had a different plan for Hiro. Perhaps it was his sincerity, or maybe the spirit found a moment of peace in his answer. But she vanished into the night as suddenly as she had appeared, leaving Hiro alone with the whispers of the wind, a chilling reminder of the encounter that could have ended his life. Kuchisaka Onna, a spirit ensnared by tragedy, roams the night, asking a question that carries the weight of life and death. Her legend serves as a stark reminder that beauty, twisted by fate and vengeance, can become a curse that haunts both the living and the dead. That story is kind of terrifying.
It is, but I'm going to be honest with you. I relate to that kid so freaking hard because, like, ingrained politeness, let me tell you, I relate to that. I'm, like, overly polite. I remember one time I was at like this dinner I had for something years and years ago. I was with my mom and I thanked the waitress so many times that she told me I didn't have to tell her thank you anymore.
She's like, please just stop.
She literally was just like, you don't have to say thank you every time. But at the end of the dinner, she was like, is this your daughter? Because my mom and I look very like, and mom was like, yeah. She's like, she's very polite.
I do the same thing. I will say thank you more times than I really need to, just because in certain situations, I just don't know how to respond.
Yep, I just get super awkward and I'll say thank you.
Number 4, La Llorona, the Weeping Woman. Deep in the heart of Latin American folklore, where the threads of history and myth intertwine, there exists a legend that echoes through the ages. It is a tale of loss, of despair, and of a mother's unending grief. This is the story of La Llorona, the Weeping Woman, a specter draped in white, haunted by tragedy. Along the banks of a river that flows like a ribbon of silver through the lush greenery of a forgotten village, the locals speak of a woman whose cries can be heard in the dead of night, mingling with the rustle of leaves and the soft lap of water against the shore. She is La Llorona, the Weeping Woman, cursed to eternal mourning for her lost children. As the moon hangs heavy in the sky, casting an otherworldly glow over the waterside, Maria, a young villager with a curious heart, found herself drawn to the river's edge. The air was thick with the scent of blooming flowers and the hushed whispers of legends untold. It was there, on the riverbank, that she saw her, a figure draped in a flowing white gown, her hair like a cascade of ebony silk, her face a mask of inconsolable grief. La Llorona wept, her cries a symphony of horror that pierced the stillness of the night.
My children, my lost children.
Maria, transfixed by the spectral presence before her, felt a shiver run down her spine. The story she had heard around the village of a mother doomed to roam the earth in search of her drowned children suddenly seemed more real than ever. As La Llorona's cries grew louder, echoing through the night like a haunting lament, Maria felt a pull, a primal, irresistible urge to join the specter in her sorrow, to share in the weight of her grief and her eternal longing. But the villagers had warned her. Tales spun around fireside of those who had listened too closely to the Weeping Woman's call, only to be drawn into the depths of the river, never to return. And so, with a heavy heart and trembling limbs, Maria tore herself away from the riverbank. The mournful cries of La Llorona faded into the night behind her. The legend lived on, seared into her memory, a reminder of the unbreakable bond between love and loss, between mother and child. La Llorona, the weeping woman, her story etched in the fabric of folklore, a cautionary tale of grief that knows no bounds. Her cries echo through the rivers and lakes, a haunting melody that warns of the depths of sorrow and the price of eternal mourning. I just want to apologize to anybody if I totally butchered that. That was a hard name for me to say.
Yeah. Also, he decided to write a line in Spanish. And we did not do that. We did not. So I did not say it in Spanish because I don't know if you hear my voice. I don't speak Spanish. No.
Yeah. To be fair, my original intent was to have someone who can speak Spanish actually say it. I just kind of slacked and forgot all about it until now. So,
way to go, buddy.
We just got to roll with it, you know?
Well, someone who doesn't speak Spanish ended up reading it.
In English. Don't pat yourself too hard there.
Yeah, although we did, you know, try. Yeah. For a second, and then we were like, that's a really bad idea, don't do that.
Yeah, we already offended enough people, we don't need to offend any Spanish speak people.
Yeah, we already offended plenty, don't need to add to the list right now. We'll wait a minute,
but just wait for the next story.
Great.
Number 3, the black-eyed children. In the dead of night, when the world slumbers under a blanket of darkness and the air is thick with silence, imagine an unsettling knock at your door. Your heart skips a beat as you approach cautiously, unsure of what awaits on the other side. As you crack the door open, two children stand before you, their presence sending a chill down your spine. Their eyes, once the windows to the soul, are as black as the void itself, devoid of any light or humanity. They speak in unison, their voices strangely monotone and devoid of emotion, yet somehow filled with a sinister undercurrent.
May we come in?
The request hangs heavy in the air, sending shivers down your spine. Everything within you screams to slam the door shut, to run and hide from these strange and unsettling visitors. The air around you grows colder, a malign presence seeping through the cracks in your defenses. You try to muster the courage to deny their request, to send them away into the night where they belong. But as you meet their empty black-eyed gaze, a sense of dread washes over you, numbing your limbs and clouding your thoughts. With every passing moment, the darkness seems to seep from their very beings, casting a shadow over your home, over your very soul. You realize with a sinking feeling that letting them in would mean inviting disaster, inviting a malevolence you can scarcely comprehend. As the children's gaze locks onto yours, you feel a primal fear crawling at the edges of your mind, whispering tales of innocent faces twisted into something far more sinister. A choice hangs in the air, heavy with consequences that stretch beyond the realms of understanding. In a surge of defiance against the encroaching darkness, you find your voice, shaky but resolute.
I'm sorry, but it's late. You should go home now.
With those words, the children's expressions shift from blankness to a fleeting glimpse of something malevolent. A darkness veiled in innocence. Their unblinking eyes bore into yours, their demeanor filled with an unsettling determination. Before you can react, they turn and vanish into the night, leaving behind an eerie emptiness in their wake. The lingering sense of foreboding that envelops you serves as a grim reminder of the innocent turned malevolent, a legend that preys on our deepest fears and the fragility of the night. And as the specter of their visit fades into memory, you're left with the haunting question. What darkness lurks behind the innocent facades that walk among us? When the darkness comes knocking, will you have the strength to deny its entry? Well, there you go, Jordan. You've been asking me to do the Black Eyed Children for a while.
I have. They're so creepy, and I love it.
They really are. Have you ever looked at the pictures of them?
Yeah, it's super, creepy. I don't know, foreboding. Just, yeah, just like creeps down your spine.
I may or may not have done this whole episode just to do the Black Eyed Children.
I really have been bugging him about it, though, because it just is something that I knew you would really excel at.
It's just, it's not one that could be a full episode. It's just, there's not enough to it to make it a full episode. So that's why I wanted to do something like this. And because I really want to do the episode too, but I just couldn't figure out a way to, without fluffing it up and getting a whole lot of
dragging it out.
Yeah. And I don't want to do that. So I really like this new format. Don't know if we're going to keep doing it, but it was just something different and I liked it.
I had fun with it.
But there's more. Number 2, the Jersey Devil. In the heart of the dense and shadowed pine barrens of New Jersey, where the trees whisper ancient secrets and the night air hums with an eerie melody, there dwells a creature of myth and terror, the Jersey Devil. Born from the depths of legend and cloaked in fear, this being wanders the darkened expanse, a specter that haunts the imaginations of those brave enough to venture into its realm. Whispers of the Jersey Devil's existence date back centuries, its origins shrouded in mystery and folklore, with hoofs that pound the earth in thunderous cadence, a goat's head that extrudes an air of evil, bat-like wings that blot out the moonlight, and a chilling scream that freezes the blood in veins. The mere mention of its name sends a shiver down the spine of even the most seasoned storyteller. It is said that encounters with the Jersey Devil are rare but unforgettable. Its presence is heralded by an unsettling hush that falls over the forest. The rustling of leaves stirred, the cawing of nightbirds silence in fear. As dusk settles like a heavy cloak over the land, casting elongated shadows that dance like specters in the fading light, tales of the Jersey Devil's haunting cries reverberate through the trees. Those who had the misfortune of a sighting speak of a primal fear, gripping their hearts, a sense of dread that lingers long after the creature has vanished into the night. Among the locals and even the most hardened skeptics, the legend of the Jersey Devil persists, a reminder that some mysteries are not meant to be unraveled, some shadows are not meant to be explored. It is a tale that fuels the embers of fear and curiosity, drawing thrill seekers and skeptics alike to the dark heart of the Pine Barrens in search of a truth that may forever elude them. And so, as the night deepens and the woods grow still, the legend of the Jersey Devil looms large, a sentinel of the unknown and the unexplained. Its presence is a testament to the dark recesses of our collective imagination. A specter that reminds us that in the shadows of the world, truths far stranger than fiction may lie, waiting to be revealed. The Jersey Devil, aka Jordan.
You know, that's fair. I'll go with that. I'm not even going to be mad about it. Like, that's fine.
I like that one, the Jersey Devil's one of those weird ones. Reminds me of, like, almost like the Chupacabra.
That's what I was thinking. It's got, like, so many different variations.
And this is just one variation. There's probably dozens and dozens of variations.
So many variations. And it's so well known. And it goes back this way and that way. And I don't know. Every different family has a different version of it.
And I'll be honest. Honestly, until I started doing, you know, research for this episode and everything, Jersey Devil is not one that I actually was familiar with.
Oh, really? I was really super familiar with it.
It's the one in this whole list that I'm not familiar with at all. And that's why I like learning about it.
I'm
actually
so happy for you.
To be fair, it was probably like a week ago when I was actually writing all this. But, you know, in our world, there's no time.
No, it all happens today.
Number 1, the Bell Witch. In the quiet countryside of the American South, nestled among the rolling hills and the whispering pines, there existed a homestead that would become the stage for a harrowing tale of terror and torment. The legend of the Bell Witch. The Bell family's ordeal in the early 19th century would sow the seeds of fear and fascination, birthing a legacy that transcends time and space. It began like a whisper, barely perceptible, a soft murmur that danced on the edges of perception. In the dead of night, the Bell family was roused from their slumber by strange, unexplainable noises that seemed to emanate from the very walls of their home. Objects moved on their own volition, Phantom footsteps echoed down empty hallways, and eerie voices whispered chilling threats into the darkness. The matriarch of the family, Lucy Bell, found herself at the center of this supernatural storm. The entity that would come to be known as the Bell Witch seemed fixated on tormenting her, appearing as a formless specter that exuded a palpable malevolence, a darkness that clung to the air like a sinister fog. As the days turned into weeks and the weeks into months, the Bell Witch's reign of terror only intensified. Physical attacks on family members became disturbingly common, scratches and bruises appearing as if by an invisible hand. Her haunting voice filled the home with a cacophony of wails and whispers, each word dripping with malice and foreboding. Neighbors and visitors who came to witness the Bell Witch's malevolent presence were met with a force beyond comprehension. A poltergeist that defied all rational explanation, its ability to mimic voices and manipulate the physical world left those who witnessed its wrath trembling with fear and disbelief. The Bell family's existence became a living nightmare. Their once peaceful home transformed into a battleground between the living and the dead. Desperate pleas for help fell on deaf ears as the specter's influence spread like a festering wound, inflicting all who dared draw near. And as the days stretched into endless nights, the Bell Witch's grip on the family tightened, its presence an ever-present shadow that cast a pall over their lives. The legacy of fear and unease that it left in its wake would persist long after its haunting whispers had faded into the ether. And so the tale of the Bell Witch stands as a testament to the fragility of our perceived reality, a chilling reminder that forces beyond our comprehension may lurk in the shadows, waiting to unleash their malevolence upon unsuspecting souls. The legacy of the Bell Witch endures a dark chapter of the annals of American folklore that serve as a warning to those who would dare tread the line between the living and the dead. So out of these 10, Jordan, how many of them did you know?
Most of them, actually, if not all of them. I don't think I was super familiar with the slit-faced woman. Wasn't super familiar. The rest of them, I was pretty familiar with, actually.
Yeah. Like I said, the only one that I really didn't know was Jersey Devil. Most of these I've heard when I was younger.
Yeah, I was actually pretty familiar with that one. One of my other favorite podcasts did an episode on it, so I was familiar with it.
I enjoyed this format and doing it like this, but we're gonna let the audience decide.
Yeah, let us know. I had a really good time with it, and I got to voice different characters, which strangely enough I had a really fun time with.
Yeah, so if you guys want us to do this more often, just let us know. If you don't like it at all, let us know that too.
Yeah, we need to know. If you love it, let us know. If you hate it, let us know.
We're going to try stuff and see what works and what doesn't. And there you have it, our top 10 creepiest urban legends. From the chilling encounters with the Bell Witch to the haunting presence of the Jersey Devil, these tales remind us that fear and fascination often walk hand in hand in the realm of folklore. As we bid adieu to these eerie narratives, let us not forget that in the whispers of the night and the depths of the unknown, there lies a world beyond our understanding. The line between reality and legend blurs, inviting us to question the truth that lies just beyond our grasp. So as you drift off to sleep tonight, surrounded by the safety of your home and the glow of the nightlights, remember the stories we tell are more than words on a page. They are echoes of our fears, our curiosities, and our collective imagination, waiting to be explored. Until next time, I leave you with this question. What urban legend sends a shiver down your spine and what? Share your thoughts below. And remember, keep the lights on and keep wondering about the mysteries that lurk in the shadows. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check out our links in the description below.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Mm-hmm.